Welcome to another installment of the Virginia Athletics Podcast. I'm Jeff White from VirginiaSports.com, and the UVA football team plays its first road game of the season Saturday night in Bloomington, Indiana, home of the Hoosiers. My guest today here at John Paul Jones Arena is third-year linebacker Jordan Mack, who will play a huge role for the Cavaliers in this one. Jordan, thanks for joining the show.
Thank you for having me.
Before we look ahead to Indiana, let's look back at the season opener. Last weekend at Scott Stadium, Virginia defeated Richmond 42-13. Given what happened on that field against Richmond in the 2016 season opener, which was also your first college game, how satisfying was that win for you?
It was very satisfying because knowing where we came from 2 years ago, just knowing where the program is now, like the guys have been talking about, just how far we've improved, the culture, the guys getting that much older, and see that product we put out on the field, something that we can be proud of this time, is unbelievable, and we're excited.
There was a lot of talk before the game. You know, I know I asked you about it, and Jordan Ellis talked about it, and others who said the program was light years away from where it had been in Bronco Mendenhall's first season, particularly for the opener. And, you know, everyone said all that. Was there pressure then to go out and kind of prove that, okay, we are indeed much further along than we were in year one?
I don't think it was much pressure. It was just going out there and trusting our training, knowing, like J.E. said, how far we've come from 2 years ago, all the work we put in, mentally, physically. You can see the guys, you know, bodies developed, mindsets changed, knowledge of the game has changed a lot. So just going out there and, you know, trusting your training, not putting too much pressure on yourself, but just going out there to play the game because we know how much work we put in the offseason and 2 years. So it's just all letting it show.
You are from a family of college football players. Your dad played at Georgia Tech. Your brother, Charles, played at Richmond, and he was on the team that won at UVA in 2016. I traded some messages with your brother last week before the game, and he said that every time the two of you argue, I know his trump card is to remind you that the Spiders won in Charlottesville 2 years ago. Did you take the opportunity to talk a little smack after Saturday's game?
You know, I would have, but I didn't get too much joy because he wasn't on the team.
Yeah, so it's a little different that way.
But I'm just, you know, I'm going to let him have it. I have to deal with it. But, you know, I just, for the most part, just, you know, asked him about how the game went, how do you think we looked as a team and all those kinds of things. But, you know, he's the older brother, so, you know, for I'm going to give him one, and he can have that one.
You got another rematch coming up, this one with Indiana. The teams met last year at Scott Stadium. It was scoreless after one quarter. It was a defensive battle. Then the Hoosiers switched quarterbacks and ended up winning 34-17. What do you remember about that game?
Like you said, just a defensive battle. And then the quarterback change happened. And, you know, he came in and basically electrified their offense, did allow some plays to happen that got away from us and put them up a couple scores, and, you know, just looking forward to stopping him this year, and the challenge of the defense with the guys coming from back from last year, the challenge of stopping him this year.
I mean, if memory serves, their starting quarterback that day was more of a traditional drop back passer, and you were having great success about him. Then they switched to a dual threat guy, and by the time you kind of made that adjustment, you know, the game was a little bit out of hand. So that got to be tough to do midstream, isn't it, switching like that?
Oh, yeah, most definitely, because, you know, they're two different quarterbacks, and that could have been seen. But, you know, you just got to be able to handle adversity like that. And I feel like, you know, a year ago, you know, we're much older and mature and ready to handle that.
You were at JPJ on Monday for the weekly press conferences, and your teammates compared you a couple of times to Jordan Ellis, in part because you're not really talkative, but also, and probably more important, because you're a hard worker like Jordan is. That's pretty high praise, isn't it, to be compared to him?
Oh, yeah, it's an honor because you know how much work J.E. puts in, and, you know, it can be seen and unseen, but it's known all around McHugh, the amount of work that he puts in and day out, and it's seen with this pro football focus grade. And it's just seen is paying dividends, and I'm very proud of J.E. because, you know, all of his work he's been putting in the offseason and over the years is paying and coming to fruition.
You and Jordan are part of a large contingent of players in the program who are from the Atlanta area. There's also Rob Snyder, Joey Blunt, T.C. Harrison. Hopefully I'm not forgetting anybody. But is there a special bond among you guys?
I would say we have, you know, just that unique bond. It's all been from the same area, the Georgia area.
Right.
The Georgia boys, you know, we know we like to say we're the best state when it comes to football.
Yeah, there are a couple other guys in the program. Sean Smith is from a different part, and Tyler Fannin's from Georgia as well.
Right, right. But, yeah, we just always like to, you know, say, you know, Georgia's best known for their football. We're the best state for football. And just that unique connection of, you know, like me and Jay, you were just talking about the Falcons and them opening up tonight. So just that connection of all being from the same place.
When I interviewed Joey Blunt in the spring, he said he thought he had played middle school football against you. Did that game actually happen, and what do you remember about that?
Oh, man. I don't remember if I ever played against Joey. The only thing I can remember is my high school played him when I was graduated my freshman year, so his senior year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only thing I can remember. I do not
Who think. Won that game?
I think they squeezed it out.
Joey went to a small private school that is known more for academics than athletics, and so did you. How did your experience at Wesleyan prepare you for the challenges you have to face here in the classroom at UVA?
You know, like you said, just academically, it was a college preparatory school. So, you know, the way they ran their school on a daily basis, going from class to class, the way the teachers structured their classrooms, it prepared me to, you know, come up here and be diligent in my work, follow a schedule, and just turn my work in on time and do the small things that would make me the best student athlete when I came to college.
I think Wesleyan is 2A, right?
When I was there, they were 2A. Now they're 1A.
Did you have any concerns that playing at a smaller school like that, you might not be noticed by college recruiters, or did you feel like if you're good, they're going to find you?
You know, at first, you know, you're kind of worried about it, but as time goes along, you're just like, you know, wherever you are, you just football is football, and the product you put out there, you have to be proud of it, and they'll find you based on how you play. So, you know, early on when I was in high school, I was a little bit iffy about it, but as I got older, I was, you know, if I play, then they'll find me.
You high jumped 6'6", and you ran the 100 meters in 10.98 seconds in high school.
Right.
Did you win any state championships in track?
I won my senior year. We won the team state championship, which I enjoy because I still talk to my teammates these days, still talk to my coaches, my track coaches, and we're still loving that one because that was the first one in school history. I was blessed enough to win the high jump state championship my senior year.
Was that your 6'6" jump?
Yeah, it was.
Did you have any interest? I guess you had committed to Virginia by then for football. You'd actually signed, but did you get track and field interest as well?
No, not really. I don't think I did.
So your dad picked Georgia Tech over Virginia, and he actually took a recruiting visit up here when George Welch was the head coach. You picked Virginia over Georgia Tech. How tough a decision was that? And was there any pushback from your dad, or was he going to support you no matter what you did?
He was definitely going to support me no matter what I did. He was going throughout the process. He made it well known that, you know, wherever I go, just make sure it's my decision and I'm proud of it and go somewhere that, you know, he was big on academics. So that was academically sound and could benefit me both on and off the field. So coming up here, I don't think he at first I felt like he was a little bit, you know, I wish he would have went there, but that's just natural. But, you know, as time went along, you know, I can just see the smile on his face and, you know, the colors he wears to the games, that, you know, he basically feels like he's a Wahoo these days. So
when you got here July 2016, you were a safety. You weren't exactly scrawny, but you weighed 205 pounds. I think you've told me now you're 230 at least. You're an inside linebacker. Would you have envisioned that back on day one, that 2 years later you'd be not only starting at a different position, but, you know, significantly bigger and stronger?
I I would probably say, I would believe if you told me, I would probably go to outside linebacker. Mm-hmm. But if you would have said inside, I would have, you know, just shook my head and not believed you. But, you know, coming to college, I was expected to gain weight. You know, everyone talks about the natural weight gain and the nutrition and the weightlifting. So that I was expecting to get bigger, but I wasn't really expecting to move in the inside backer.
Is it safe to say that at some point along the way you kind of fell in love with the weight room and that part of it? Because I know the strength coaches here have raved about the progress you've made and how much you can lift now.
I feel like I was I fell in love with it when I started at home with my dad.
So you did it before you came here?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he definitely established the building blocks. And also, you know, having a brother, you know, seeing him going off to college and getting big, and also just him lifting weights, being the little brother, you know, I want to be big too. I want to be strong. And so, you know, I went to him and he started me off, and I just moved up the ladder to high school, to college, and just, you know, just been diligent and trusting the process. And here I am now.
What's it been like working with Sean Griswold since he's come in as head strength coach in January?
Oh, it's been awesome. You know, the lifts we're doing now is some of the same lifts we've been doing in high school, the Olympic style lifts, the power cleans, the back squats, front squats. So it's been fun, you know, during the off season, like every off season, just a chance to get in the weight room and get as big as you can and ready for the football season.
So you got here in 2016, I believe late in training camp, there were injuries to guys at outside linebacker, so you moved from safety to that spot. You ended up starting that year as a true freshman. You moved to inside linebacker last year and started next to Micah Kizer, who's now with the Rams in the NFL. What did you learn from – I'm sure you learned a lot of things, but what were your main takeaways from Micah?
Well, first was how he handled himself off the field when it came to his academics. Like, it's well known that he won the Campbell Trophy. So, you know, that lets me know how he handled his academics off the field. And when it came to on the field, how he was diligent in preparing for the game on Saturday and his film work. And along with that, how much of a leader he was and how vocal you have to be to play that Mike linebacker position in the middle of the defense and be the staple of the defense.
Your claim to fame, in some respects, has been the sack that you had at Duke as a true freshman. And I know UVA fans remember that. You came in on a blitz. You hit the Duke quarterback in the end zone. The ball came free, and Eli Hamback jumped on it or fell on it for a touchdown. UVA went on to win that game, which was the first road win in several years. That's going to be a hard play to top individually, isn't it? Even though your body of work since then has been impressive, but how do you top that hit? What would top that? I guess you recover it yourself, maybe.
Maybe, but you know, I really don't think, you know, I'm trying to top it. Just go out there and just try to make the best plays for my team. And at that moment, that was the best play that could be made. So, you know, this weekend. Week in and week out, just doing my best and my part to help the team. And, you know, whatever happens, whatever play occurs, then, you know, I'll accept that.
You, the defense returned 8 starters from last season. That doesn't include Tim Harris, who missed last year with an injury but has started earlier in his career. The defense was thought to be the strength of this team going into the season. You had a good first game against Richmond. When you reviewed the film, where does the defense need to get better now that you're about to start playing other FBS teams?
I'll just say, you know, we need to continue to take that step forward, whether it be our physicality, our communication, our pursuit to the ball, just the small things that can, you know, use some fine tuning and, you know, go to that extra notch and take that extra step to be the dominant defense we want to be.
Running quarterbacks gave UVA's defense fits at times last season, which happens to a lot of teams in college football. Is it nice to see Bryce Perkins kind of returning the favor this year for other teams?
Oh, yeah, because we know, like you said, we know how it feels. We had to experience it last year. We had to experience it during fall camp. So it's nice to see other teams, you know, experience what we had to go through.
You had the 6th pick in the jersey number draft last month. You ended up sticking with 37. Any thoughts of change of numbers or? So how did you get 37 year one? Because as a true freshman, you would not have picked early at all, would you?
Right. So my freshman year, our jersey selection was on a Thursday before the first game. And, you know, all the numbers were already taken by the other guys. And the lowest number, I believe, was 34. And, you know, I was just walking, passing the numbers. And, you know, I came to 37. I liked the way it looked, picked it up, and it's been sticking with me ever since.
There are staples in a Coach Mendenhall practice, particularly in training camp, and a couple of them for the defense have been will development and pursuit. You talked a little bit about those on Monday, but they come at the end of practice when the players are tired and beat, and it seems like it's as much mental as physical, though the physical aspect is huge. What's it like to go through those drills?
Oh, man, you got to – you literally, like Malcolm said, when you think you're done with practice and you got to do pursuits, it's just it can be mentally draining, or, and, you know, you can shy away from it, or you can, you know, just get you and a bunch of guys and say, let's attack it. And, you know, let's get one and done, two and done, whatever we have to do, let's attack it and not shy away from the challenge we have. So, you know, coming from a hard practice, you know, it's a challenging task because it's, everyone has to go full out, basically be a team, run when they blow the whistle, hit the ground, hop back up, and keep running, and not run to the line, but run through it. And if it just takes one person to get the thumbs down. So, it, you know, it encourages us to be a team, come together, unite, and attack a challenge together and not shy away and, you know, lean away and drop out.
I mean, it's really a shock to the system for the first year guys, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Particularly when they go through the younger guys. I mean, not that it's easy for you, but at least you know what it's about and how to get through it.
Oh, yeah. It's a quick learning curve. And, you know, you just pay attention to the older guys, and, you know, they'll lead you the right way.
After the game, there's a tradition that Coach Grizz brought with him. After every win, a player will take the sledgehammer and break the rock in the locker room. Jordan Ellis got the honors after game one. You looking forward to an opportunity at some point to break the rock?
Of course. Something like that, that's a huge honor, you know, to break the rock, to establish a stepping stone in our program. So, you know, obviously J.E. earned it, and, you know, you can go back and watch the film, and it's well known that he earned it. So it'll be very exciting to hopefully earn my opportunity.
So you will end the regular season with road games against the two Techs. Everybody knows the importance of the final game against Virginia Tech in Blacksburg, but first you go to Atlanta to play Georgia Tech. Is that one special for you? I know I talked to Jordan when he was on the podcast a couple weeks ago, and he said that's definitely a big one for him, his last game in Atlanta.
Oh, yes. It's special because, you know, you get to go back home. Of course, you get some extra family coming to the game, family and friends. You have your friends that go to Georgia Tech. So it should be exciting to go back home and be able to play in front of a hometown crowd.
Well, good. Well, I appreciate, again, you coming over this afternoon. We'll good luck the rest of the season and this week in particular.
All right, thank you.
All right, I think that's a wrap for this week. For those who can't make the trip to Bloomington to see the game in person Saturday night, it'll be televised on the Big Ten Network. The Hoos will be home at Scott Stadium for back-to-back games later this month, September 15th against Ohio and September 22nd against Louisville. Check at UVA Football on Twitter and Instagram for the latest on Coach Mendenhall's program, and visit virginiasports.com for news, schedules, videos, and general information on all 27 of our teams. I'll be back next week with another podcast. Until then, thanks for listening, and go Hoos.